And first of all, so thank you everybody for coming to the different location.
Yes,
especially those who was a longer trip.
Very easy.
But my wife is out of town with my oldest daughter, Baruch Hashem. She was just bas mitzvah on Friday, so they went to Eretz Yisrael for the week. So we're here, Baruch Hashem. And I'm awaiting her return very anxiously tomorrow morning because the other kids are all upstairs. Yes, that's why kids are still up now. Okay, anyway. But Lamai, so we're talking about Parshas Shlach, so the Meraglim go in. Unfortunately, it's tragic in that they come back with a negative report of Eretz Yisrael. And we know they carried the grapes. They were fantastically large grapes. And the Paris Arts, you know, what should have been astounding and really something that they should have described to the Tzibor as fantastic in a good way, that it's able to produce such amazing fruit, they turned it into a negative report showing how the inhabitants are so huge that they're not going to be able to be overpowered. Obviously we were familiar, unfortunately, with the result. So when dealing with Paris Aris, the Shivas Haminim, they are definitely fruits through which we praise Eretz Yisrael that it produces such amazing fruits. And because of that, they have a special bracha achrona. Now, two of the Shivas Haminim are grains, and they actually can have a brichas hamazon. You can bench on them in many cases. The other five, while you can't bench on them per se, or I should say, not that you can't, because dates, it's possible that if you accidentally said the wrong bracha there because they give satiation, it could be the Gemara discusses that, you know, maybe your yotze, even with more of a benching bracha, if you did it accidentally. But other than that, their appropriate bracha is a bracha me'ein shalosh, which is essentially, you know, an al ha'peiros, which is essentially the same structure as an al mechia. So these Shivas Haminim, it's even more in that it's possible that they are deraisa, the bracha achrona for them. And that's something that we'll discuss tonight. Brachos, I believe we may have touched upon it once a while back, like a year and a half ago, but maybe we'll revisit some of those topics and get to some others, that they could be, sometimes brachos can even be possibly deraisa. So most of us are familiar with the rule that brachos, sabe brachos lahakel. If you're unsure whether you're supposed to make a bracha or not, you are makel. And part of that, if not most of that, is predicated on the fact that a bracha is only midrabbana. Now, if we find brachos that are deraisa, then we should override that rule and say in those circumstances when the brachos deraisa, we actually would not say sabek brachos lahakel. Case in point, the pasuk says v'yachalta v'zavato v'yirachta. So if you're satiated after having eaten, and we're talking certainly about bread, we'll discuss whether other items are included, but certainly if you've had bread and you're sated, so now your benching is a deraisa. It's not a derabanan. And the nafkamina is, let's say you're uncertain whether you've benched, in such a situation, you would have to bench. You don't say safek brachos lahakel. There are other nafkaminas also. Now, let's say you've eaten bread, but you're not full after eating it. It can happen. So, in such a case, your benching is only midirabanan. We're makbid to bench midirabanan, even if you've eaten only a kezias worth of bread. So then, in a situation like that, assuming you're not full from that kezias, your benching is only derabanan. If you're unsure whether you've benched or not, you would not repeat benching or say benching in such a circumstance because, in that case, it's a derabanan.
So you're full from other foods.
So were they all eaten in the same meal or not? In terms of, there's a famous case of Rabbi Akiva Eiger who discusses, let's say I've eaten bread and I benched, but I'm still full. And then maybe I'm just barely not full. I take some water, or I drink something, or I eat something, and now I'm full again. Do I have to bench? Even though the second item that I ate / drank was not bread, but I'm full because of the bread from before. So there's Rabbi Akiva Eiger that discusses that. And generally, we don't really seem to go with that. But at the same point in time, that is getting into that idea. Now, if it's all in the same meal, say a Shabbos meal, let's say you get full at a Shabbos meal or a big meal, so you started with your hamotzi, maybe you had a piece of bread here or there in the middle of the meal, but for the most part, the bread, if you would take away all the other food that you've eaten, you would not be filled from the bread. That benching, if you're full at the end, is a derisa, because it's all within that one meal.
What if a person eats a meal without bread and they become satiated?
So then,
one argue and say, well, then I guess he ate, was satisfied, and
So that's one thing that we need to get to. Now, it's looking at the pasuk itself, Yechata v'savata v'rach, which is not in this week's parasha. I'm just getting to it through the Meraglim somewhat, which we'll discuss what that pasuk is going on. And it's possible, but also, it certainly doesn't apply to all foods. The question is, to which foods does it apply? And that's one of the points that I want to talk about tonight. Becoming satiated from which foods will necessitate a bracha deraisa. A few other nafkaminas are, let's say, the two of us have eaten, and you want me to be motzi you in pension. Now, the minhag nowadays is that everybody benches to themselves. Technically, one person, if we've both eaten, one person can be motzi the other in benching, just like any other bracha, assuming that we're both chayiv in it. And we both are, certainly in the case when we've both eaten. It could be a situation where one is unable to bench on his own. Number one, it could be maybe he doesn't know how to bench. Number two, it could be a situation where he doesn't remember if he's benched. For whatever reason, it could happen. He can't remember if he benched or not. So his friend, who also has to bench, and that's the best situation, perhaps, in a case like that, is to ask somebody else who has the bench, can you be motzi me? And you listen to every word, and you answer amen. Preferably to answer amen. If you didn't, you're still yotzei. So in that situation, there's a major nafkamina. If your friend was only chayv in benching the rabbanon, and you've eaten, and you're full, then he can't be motzi you. Because he's only chayv in the rabbanon, you chayv in the rabbanon. So that's a major concern. So there are these nafkaminas that come about, whether a bracha is derabanan or deraisa. There is a lot of discussion about that issue with benching. Rashi and Tosos with regard to derabanan to the deraisa, but either way, that's the pashut idea behind it. Now, you raise the big point, and that is v'chalta v'savalta v'rachta. So that's what teaches us that benching is deraisa, and you've asked, mehechtesi benching. Just as you've eaten, you became full, and then you bench. So with anything, perhaps, if I had fruit, if I had vegetables, whatever, it'd be chocolate, whatever it's going to be, if I had a mouth and I'm full, I should have to bench. So we definitely understand, just before that, it was discussing the Sheva Saminim, and within that is clearly the grains, the wheat and barley. And the other grains of the five are considered to be subcategories of those. So therefore, because those are normal to provide satiation, we know with certainty that the pasuk of Yechalta v'Savata, we understand that it's certainly going on the grains. In a case, when you've eaten them in the normal fashion, from which people historically would eat their fill, and was considered to be the meal, or the main part of the meal, through which you become full. So that's why bread, we know, is certainly a deraisa. Is anything else included? And that's the question. So, certainly right off the bat, the pasuk is within the context, still going on from just before it, the Sheva Saminim. And therefore, anything that's not Sheva Saminim with certainty, you know, is not going to be a deraisa. But what about the other five of the Sheva Saminim? Pomegranates, dates, figs, you name it, those five. So the truth is, commonly we say it's not a deraisa, but, we say only benching is a deraisa, but that's not necessarily muskam according to everybody. It happens to be a major machlokas, Rishonim, with most Rishonim perhaps even, siding more towards that these things are all deraisa. The Rashba, Rabbi Nuyona.
And one would actually have to bench after eating a pomegranate?
Not bench per se, but a bracha me'in shalosh. As it's clear from the Gemara that bread is chashiv.
So how do we know that only bread retains the v'chata zata v'rachta and that the pomegranate did not, the pasuk was not referring?
So there's two ways to read this. According to the Rashba, Rabbi Nuyona, and other Rishonim who hold that all shivas aminim, the bracha afterwards, is going to be deraisa. So they are deraisa. Your question now is, they are deraisa, and after bread is deraisa, how do you know that bread gets a full benching and those only get a bracha mein shalosh? That's one question. The other question, and on the other side of things, is the Rambam, who holds that it's only bread that's a deraisa, and the other five, minim, are going to be midrabanan, the bracha mein shalosh. So I understand the split, why bread gets the benching and they get the mein shalosh, because benching is unique. It's only for items that can be a deraisa. And therefore the mein shalosh is a lesser bracha, so to speak, for things that can. How did the Rambam know to differentiate between the bread and the other five? So he knew it because he understands that the pasuk was discussing items through which you normally become full. Those other items, historically, people didn't use them as the main staple of the meal. They weren't what you ate for v'chalta v'sevata. They're primarily more like a delicacy, things to enhance your meal, perhaps, or to snack on, things that are more of a luxury. Whereas bread is the actual staple of the meal. We do see, even the Rashba and Rabbi Yona, everybody agrees that bread is considered to be so unique in terms of historically, as it pertains to human consumption, that it did achieve Birchas HaMazon. As that you can look through Shas, you look at the six parak and brachas, and you'll find that there is a difference between benching, between bread and the other five minim. With the exception of Rabbi Gamliel, who we don't pass him, like, who may give benching to other items also. He might not have a main shalosh for those other items. But according to the other Tanaim who do, so you see that there is definitely a hierarchy that benching is specific to those. But the Rashba, Rabbi Yonah, and others do learn, unlike the Rambam, that although they get a different bracha, still, nevertheless, they are going to still be a deraisa. And that there are nafkaminas to that, as we've been, somewhat discussing whether your main shalosh after eating is deraisa derabanan. In general, we're makel to say sapik brachas lahakal even on these things, but it's a person should be a little more concerned, I should say, to try not to get into a situation, you know, in advance, that he'll come to having to be samech on safek brachas lahakel with the bracha mein shalosh, because according to many Rishonim, it actually, assuming you're full, is deraisa. Now, many times with these types of foods, and that's the whole nature of it, you're not going to be full, because you're just snacking on them a little bit. But that doesn't mean that it can't or won't happen. You know, I'm sure it's happened. So, that being the case, one should somewhat be cognizant, but all of a sudden we're starting to expand upon this idea that brachos are...
But if there's no Rishonim, let's say a person satiated with, I don't know, meat and rice, for sure no one, there's no din deraisa to bench on that. That's not the v'sevata the pasuk is referring to.
So, we're going to discuss in a few minutes bracha Rishona, and based on that, maybe there is Rabbi Chanano who may hold that it's possible that more brachos are deraisa, but barring shitos that maybe be more in line with that overall concept, with this specificity, no, we don't really find that it would be applied to meat or cheese or something. Even though it's very common in today's day and age that somebody not have bread and be very full. We have certainly deli sandwiches and stuff like that, but, a lot of people, it's not uncommon for them literally to maybe wash besides on Shabbos, maybe they'll wash once, twice a week, maybe certainly not on a daily basis. It's very common, you know. You have cereal, whatever, you're not going to wash on that. You have meat, chicken, you know, pastas, you know, and therefore, you know, it's if it's not bread, you're not going to get to benching, that's for sure. And basically, it's not going to be a deraisa if it's a bar nefashos. If it's a me'ein shalosh, right, in ala mechir or in ala peiros, then, or ala eitz, you know, at the end of the bracha. So then it's going to, you know, really depend on this machlokas rishonim, whether it's deraisa or derabana. But
why is it more prevalent that people are mostly one another with the bracha me'ein shalosh and not bar nefashos?
I think it's a practical issue. I think practically it's
because more people know the bread and shalosh.
Yeah,
had nothing to do with this fact that the main shalosh is a.
I don't think so. I mean, I can't say with certainty, but I have a feeling it's because more people aren't as familiar with al mechira. You know, especially younger people.
Because you find, you know, one person camps, probably more than camps, and then always burn a fashas, they stop, and everybody says it to themselves.
Yeah, I think it's especially like in camps and stuff like that, is because the kids, a lot of them, aren't as fluent with Al Mechira. So it's more of a teaching exercise, and also that they should be Yotzi. And I mean, I don't know if part of it is just because may as well if it's a derice, but I don't think that's what it's coming to, because in most of those circumstances, also the kids aren't full from that one piece of kokosh cake or whatever it is. It's not enough for most kids. So you know, it's not necessarily going to be the rice. And on cake, also, if you have your fill from it, you may end up benching, depending on how much you really ate if you were kaveh suda. So it's not necessarily. But getting now to what we just
alluded to. The Midas Chassidus, the Imamish eat bread every meal because they want to bench. There's really no such Indian like that to specifically eat bread. I've heard people do this.
There's no reason for that. In fact, there are a few things that people seem to be somewhat mistaken on. One is that, two, you find many cases in Shas where people are eating things and they are clearly not washing. Now, you could say they didn't have bread if you really want to make an okinta, but you know, that's not brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's not. I would say it's certainly a Midas Chassidus. It's not necessary at all. Another thing that once we're on that topic, and then we'll come back to brachas perhaps being deraisa, or more brachos being deraisa, is that people think that if I don't know the bracha to something, maybe I should refrain from eating it. Or maybe I should try to find something else to eat with it. Or maybe I should wash so that I could, whatever. And the truth is that's totally uncalled for in many situations. There's a very big difference between bracha rishona and bracha achrona. Bracha achrona, it's not clear, there's major machlokas achronim, whether a bar nefashos, let's say, will work for a, it may be machlokas rishonim, but whether a bar nefashos will work for, let's say, something that was an ala mechir. So if you don't know what the bracha achrona is for something, then we do find precedent, even in Shulchan Aruch and perhaps even in the Gemara, not to eat those items. We find that you should not. You know, is there ways to get around it? Yes. That's where we find the precedent that, let's say I'm not sure if something is a certain types of jam, let's say there's machlokas about. So I don't know if it's a shahakol or if it's the bar priya eitz. And it's grape jam that we're talking about. So if it's the bar priya eitz, then it shows meaning. But if it's a shahakol, then it's bar nefashos. So in such a situation, assuming you're not spreading it on a cracker or something like that, or on a piece of bread, but you're eating it, so there may be reason to refrain from eating that lechat chila, or to eat two products, a shivas minim product, and maybe have a drink, which will make you have to have a bar nefashos. And that way, between the two other products that you've eaten, you'll know with certainty that the bracha is included. That you find that there's precedent for. But for bracha rishona, Rabbeinu Yonas is beferish, and it's clear that there's lechatchila, a person should know his brachas. But if a person doesn't know a bracha, either because he doesn't know the metzias on something, or let's say a person doesn't know hilchos brachas, then in that situation, lechatchila he should make whatever bracha works. There's nothing wrong if a person doesn't even know hamotzi. So it's a b'diavad situation that he doesn't know the bracha of hamotzi. That is a b'diavad situation. But for such a person, it's a lechatchila to make a shahakal on bread. Because it works. So the more inclusive bracha rishona, there's no reason to refrain from eating something in that situation. It's only when it's the bracha achrona that's the issue, that maybe there's a reason to refrain or to make sure to eat something else, or to wash, or something of that nature. But back to brachos being perhaps deraisa, so there may be a little more precedent for brachos being deraisa. Why do we make a bracha rishona? So that's the first sugya in the sixth parak, essentially, of brachos. It's trying to determine why we need why are brachos deraisa. Why do we need to make brachos rishona? Excuse me. And essentially, it comes out elas svarahu. It's a svara. It's aser for a person to get hanaah from this world without a bracha. It's a svar, it's logical. You can't get something from somebody without saying thank you. And you can't...
About the bracha is a thanks? We don't somewhat say thank you in the bracha.
It's logical. You find it even in many other cultures.
I mean, there's no word for gratitude in the bracha. That's where baruch means. Thanks.
Well, it's a praise. It's some sort of recognition of where you're getting. It's a hakaras hatov. The Gemara doesn't say the word thank you. I actually included that, and you're right. Maybe that was just a little too vague. Maybe I shouldn't have used that word. But at least have some sort of recognition and gratitude, or maybe gratitude is not the right word. I'm trying to figure out. But just a hakaras hatov, just to praise the. Certainly, if it was a person, now Kol Shekein. If it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's his world, so to speak. We'll get to this in Pesukim in a few minutes. He's allowed you to partake of it. So for you not to recognize that before doing so is, being a Kafui Tov. So the Gemara ends off saying it's a Svar. It's something people understand. Now, the Bnei Yehoshua looks at this. Wait a second. There's a klal we see in Shas, Svara deraisa. Svara is deraisa. We have elsewhere in Shas where the Gemara is trying to determine certain things, and the Gemara says, Svara lama likra. It's a Svara, I don't need a pasuk. So if I don't need a pasuk, that means the Svara mandates that it is. It's something that I need to abide by. Therefore, it sounds like it's a deraisa. The question I have is, and it's the same question that Tosos asks, and it's something we led with, on brachos rishonos for food, it's clearly derabonan, because we find safek brachos lahakil applied to this in many cases. So how do we have these situations? We have cases, Gemara deals with, back then there were minhagim, or injunctions even, which we might not adhere to now, with different types of people, Valkari and others who maybe didn't always make brachos, or all the brachos. So how do you get around that if it's a deraisa? So for the Pnei Yehoshua, we have to address, there are many ways to perhaps get around this, with still taking the Pnei Yehoshua at face value, and that is, well, maybe I could make a one-time declaration in my life. That's the concept is, but the application? Every single application is deraisa. Or maybe one time I get up when I'm bar mitzvah, I make a proclamation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, he's the one who's given me everything, and he's the Bari Olam. And I'm yotzei with that. Mehecha teisi, that every single time I have to do something that and it's unclear, because the svara is a little vague also. So wherever the svara is going to apply, you would think that Pnei Yehoshua would say, has to be that it's a deraisa. The Tzlach takes issue with this Pnei Yehoshua. And the Tzlach says that there are two places in Shas where you see Svara Lama Likra. Mechilas Kvotros, there's a third place. I don't know why he didn't bring it. But it still fits within the overall framework that he says and argues with the Bnei Yeshua's assessment. And that is as follows. In all the places where it's found in Shas, it's not creating a new mitzvah. We have a mitzvah where we have rules in the Torah, and there's some ambiguity as to how to apply them. We're not sure to apply it to X, Y, or Z. In such a situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us the rule, and Memele, he knows he gave it to Bnei Adam, who are going to use their seichel for application. He didn't have to spell everything out, as long as it's logical. So he assumes if we're going to have two choices, or however it's going to be, and how to be magyar this din, so he knows we're going to apply the logic, and we're going to come out with the proper answer. So the Tzlach says you never find Svara Lama Likra that will tell you that you make a bracha, that you have a new mitzvah, a totally new item. To mandate a completely new mitzvah is unfounded, and therefore, he says, the Pnei Yoshua is so present, it doesn't start. The idea that bracha should be deraisa because of that, it doesn't make sense. Because, yes, it's a svara, that means that the person should do it, perhaps, but that it should be a deraisa, that it should actually be an obligation like that, you cannot say. Now, just one thing that I want to mention, that is that the beginning of Shas, there's a Hakdama written to Shas that you need a magnifying glass in most printing to get, and it's Rav Nissim Gaon has a Hakdama to Shas.
That's not the Ram?
No, this is from before, I believe. It's Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon. And he, in it, he discusses the idea of basically what it's all about. And talking about some philosophical ideas, perhaps even. And he says that mitzvahs that are sichlios, humanity has to keep. There's logical things every culture recognizes we have to keep them just from logic itself. Now, I'm not sure that this is such a question on the Tzlach. It definitely seems to lend itself towards the Pnei Yeshua's assertion. The Pnei Yeshua's raya from Svar Lam Likra, definitely the Tzlach is able to question. Because the times we have it in Shas only gets you as far to prove with certainty the Tzlach's point, which is it tells you how to apply rules, but not to create new rules. Does that mean that creation of new rules isn't true? No, we just don't have a proof from it, from that club. This Nissim Gaon, his Hakdama, it lends itself towards that, but one perhaps could say also that, you know, it's very clear, even if a person's not technically chayef, that, you know, he's doing something wrong, and therefore, in such a circumstance, you know, is that perhaps what he's referring to? But I will say it definitely does lend itself much more towards, I think, the Pnei Yeshua's assertion. Either way,
at what point do we make it? Does it become a new halacha? Like, it's hard to, like, we'd have to, like, how do you define the Tzlach's rules? Like, we don't start a new halacha. What's a new halacha like?
A totally new mitzvah. You know, the Pnei Yeshua wants there to be a deraisa to make brachos.
I mean, the Gemara matters Eishes Ish with the Svaras, so I mean, I don't.
Because we know all the rules of Eishes Ish. So we just need to apply.
I feel like I'm telling a new idea. Like, you know, by what right does Svara have to come in and
no, because we know
what the Torah already set down as a halacha.
Well, I'm not sure. Where do you see also?
We know Mace, right? Mace and Sabal is learned from a Svara.
Mace and Sabal is either there's a Hafka of the.
But the Gemara says it's a Svara, right? The Gemara knocks off the pasuk and says it's a svar.
Mamish is svar 100%. We're still.
I didn't call correctly.
Just applying it. I thought we're still just applying. It's more of an application there.
Application of what?
You know, the Gemara is going through step by step over there. It has two possibilities. You could argue over there. You know, whether it's a matter or a mafkira. But I didn't think it was just a slur that she can go get married. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Bnei Yehoshua even says that according to one of the Lashonos, there could be that you needed somewhat of a xeris chasav, and therefore a Ga'isha woman wouldn't necessarily be mother once her husband dies. So, I mean, we go through it a little bit later. It's getting a little off topic, but I'm not sure that it would... Certainly not going to create a new mitzvah. It's the application of how to deal with Kedushin and Gerushin. How far does Kedushin extend? Because no matter how you're going to deal with it anyway, and we can go through that, you know, if you want, we can go through that. But it's not creating a new mitzvah. Sometimes you have a chiv to do something. It's saying, we know Kedushin. Kedushin is a kinyan. The Kenyan last.
If they have as far away, everyone should be standing on their head every Tuesday. That would be...
Exactly. That's exactly what the Bnei Yehoshua is asserting.
Right. Yeah, the tzlach will come back and say, you can't just pick up a svar. I don't care how this svar it is. We don't do that.
Right, we don't do that. That's not a new mitzvah. As opposed to, we have Kenyanim. We know Kenyanim at certain points in time, it's assumed that people are mafkir. Obviously, Hefker doesn't work with Eishes Ish, but the kinyan is over. The bind that the person has on the object. This is not what kedushin I'm talking about right now. But the bind that he has on the object that he owns has clearly been severed. You know, we can deal with that. It's broken, and who knows what else? And he threw it out without saying anything. Whatever it is, so gerushin is discussed in the Torah. Now, Kedushin is not a kinyan 100% in that fashion. It is a kinyan for sure. Don't get me wrong. Hishanignus, Bishlosh Advarim. But nevertheless, its application of kinyanim is something that we have knowledge of, but we're not creating a new mitzvah with that. We just want to see how far does that kinyan extend and when is it severed? The relationship. Kinyan is a relationship with objects. It's a relationship with an object, which we call acquisition and ownership. With a wife, hopefully, in a normal relationship, we would say it's a relationship. So, that being the case, I think it's just an application. Either way, continuing. So either way, even the Pnei Yehoshua, he would have to admit, and presumably, you know, we see from Sabbath Brachos Lahakom all these things. That conceptually, he may think it's a deraisa, but actual application in any one instance, it's never going to have that level of deraisa, because the svar would never have it, let's say, that specific. So the overall concept is a deraisa, but the actual practical application would only be midrabban, that they forced you to say it in all these circumstances. And therefore, you would say safek brachos in any one instance, you would say safek brachos lahakol. What's interesting is, the Gemara then does find some psukim. And the Gemara in the psukim says that we have contradictory psukim. They're both from Tehillim, so that's not going to necessarily create a chiv d'oraisa. One says, Hashem ha'artum lo, that Hashem owns basically everything. And the other one says that Hashemayim shemayim l'Hashem v'aretz nasan l'vnei yalda, that we've been given the aretz. So what is it? Do we have... Is everything Hashem's? Hashem ha'aretz umloah, the aretz is to Hashem, or is it ha'aretz and son of Bnei Adam? One answer is lokasha, ha'kodim bracha, or kan kodim bracha, kan la'achar bracha. One's before the bracha, and one's after the bracha. And this is also coming to tell us that it's ki'ilu your nenem from kodshei shemayim. It's calling it hektish. Before that, the Gemara says also that it's considered to be mi'ila. Talanena min olam hazeh b'lebracha ma'al. He did mi'ila. Mi'ila, in general, is a deraisa prohibition of getting hana'ah from hektish. So, if you take this gemara literally, you would say, mi'deraisa, you are not allowed to get hana'ah from this world. It's hektish. And it's the deraisa of mi'ila. So, that's pretty fantastic. Now, there's no carbon, presumably. We don't find the carbon in Masechet Me'ilah. We don't find it other than with actual hektish. We don't find, you know, those applications of Mi'ila, but does the Isser to some degree on a derisa level fall there? So most people assume, is the Rosh Hashanah, it's only Derabbanan. Like, this is an Esmachta because we never find them Seches Mi'ila or elsewhere. It's not really Hakdish. Hakdish is when you're Makdish something. At the same time, we do have Psukim here that the Gemara is saying applies to this rule. The Mi'iri says Beferish that it's only Midrabbanan. These are an Esmachta, and that's it. And that keeps everything pretty standard. What's interesting to see is there seems to be a contradiction in Rabbeinu Yonah's writings. Rabbeinu Yonah is when he turned to the Rif in Brachos. So, where in many Mesechas you would find the Ran of the Nemuge Yosef, you actually find Rabbeinu Yonah in Mesechas Brachos, or Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. And from Rabbeinu Yonah's writings, you find a contradiction when it comes to this, because in one place, he discusses all brachos being midrabbanan, with the exception of really benching, and as we said before, he's of the opinion main shalosh, like the Rashba. But when he discusses this exact sugya, he says that it's mi'ila, and a person should go to a talmid chacham to teach him hilchos brachos, in order that he not be over mi'ila and be chayav a karban. So, if you're chayav a karban, which I said in the beginning, maybe there wouldn't be a karban or whatever, we don't find a mi'ila, Rabbeinu Yonah is actually saying, no, I know it might not be in the Masechta. The Masechta is telling you, hilchos mi'ila, and this Gemara just put the entire world into the category of Hekdesh, which means that entire Masechta's mi'ila applies to this world before you make a bracha on your food items. And the food items, it's specific each time. So Rabbeinu Yonah, in his literal sense, is taking this, or I should say, is taking this Gemara literally, it seems, and is telling you chayav a karban on each and every time that you would eat. So you would fit the amounts that you would eat would be mechayav you karban mi'ila. So it's pretty fantastic, because we have in one place he says they're not deraisa, and the other place he says you chayav a karban. You're not going to bring a karban for an issa derabbanan. There is a concept of mi'ila midrabbanan. There are certain things that you see in Masechet Mi'ila that the Chachamim said there's an issa derabbanan of mi'ila, and on those they were not mechayav a karban. It's just an issa derabbanan. So what's going on? What is it? We do find Rabbeinu Yonah in certain places where, and once again, maybe we're wrong, but in certain places where people assume that the Lashon and the Gemara is just telling you the severity of an Isser, Rabbeinu Yonah seems to take very strongly and literally. For example, if somebody learns Torah in a place that's unclean, you know, like a bathroom or something like that, so the Gemara applies the Pasuk that has to do with an Isser Kares, in the literal sense of the Pasuk. Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's an Isser Kares. So, we have a hard time with it. It just seems like that's not what the Pasuk is talking about. It's possible that the Chachamim interpret the Pasuk and are understanding that this is included. And in a literal sense, that is what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. Or it's possible that Rabbeinu Yonah means it to be taken somewhat metaphorically. And when he says this to Christ, he means that Chachamim took the time to make an Esmachta to that Pasuk that conveys the idea of Isser Kares to show you that it's as if a person's Chayav Kares. And when he says to be Chayav Karban, it means to be as if you were Chayav Karban. Mi'ila in our case. It's not the words. What's forcing you to say this? Our gut reaction. Now, it happens to be we have a Mi'iri here that's telling us that Midrabbanan is, that Brachos are only Midrabbanan. And that's these things here are really just expressing the severity of the Aver. So he's doing that to the Gemara. Do we say we can do that to Rabbeinu Yonah? So I'm going to give an alternative to read Rabbeinu Yonah and to reconcile the Stira. Keep in mind we do have a Stira here also, which makes one want to say something. In one place he calls him to Rabbeinu, in another place he seems to call Derisa. I'm going to give another possibility. And just to say that possibility will end with the possibility that they are deraisa. When I ran that by Rav Asher Weiss one time, I was discussing a bunch of things with him, and this came up, So he said, no, you can't say that. He just means chomer ha'avim. He felt, based on his tremendous knowledge of Shas and many other things, and you know, tremendous knowledge, that he could not be sovel that Rabbeinu Yonah could mean this literally. Just it seems too almost over the top. So just to put that out as a disclaimer, I want to give mahalach because personally, when I read Rishonim, you know, I'd like to take them literally. If they wrote something, that was their opinion. Now, I recognize that the Gemara oftentimes it's very clear that, you know, many cases we do find that Rishonim didn't read the Gemara literally. Sometimes they did see it as an esmachta or things of that nature, and it was chomer ha'avon, it's just trying to express a point. So there's the ability, I think, with the Gemara to do that, but the Rishonim, I'm not sure that we have such a license to take it as non-literally, and obviously this would be case by case. Different Rishonim have different writing styles, and one really has to be more knowledgeable, certainly I'm sure, than even to me, in each Rishon, and to know the writing style and what they were trying to convey.
It's pretty strong.
It is.
For someone who's just a Hanel.
But at least but you could ask why. They did say that. And keep in mind,
I don't think anybody suggests that someone who
there's a big difference there, because if you have the word ki'ilu versus avad avodah zarah, here it doesn't say ki'ilu. Ki'ilu is a very important word in that. It shows you that it's just a comparison, as opposed to here when we don't have that wording. So is it just a comparison? As when it's a simile, we get it, because you've put in those words. When it's a metaphor, how do I know? Maybe you mean it literally. So there are a few ways that you would be able to dissect this, and unfortunately at this point in time, I don't think we're able to from the Gemara, and that is to know different idioms that were used in the common vernacular. Not even necessarily in Talmudic vernacular, but in that time, when these Amorim, and it would be specific per Amora, presumably. You know, you have to put it into that historical context. I don't know if we're capable of doing that with such specificity to go statement by statement. Certainly on this one, if we could, that would be fantastic. If not, right now I'm going to Rabbeinu Yonah. I know most other things he's saying, certainly Hilchos Brachos, seem to be literal. So he doesn't seem to use such hyperbolic language. So maybe this is meant to be taken literally. And if true, then what is the reconciliation for the steer? Because he said the brachos are derabbanan, with those exceptions of the benching basically and main shalosh. And then later he says yechayev karban, which is only applicable in the derisa. So there's a tosefta. The tosefta, essentially this gemara on lamed hay, which is what I've been quoting, which is somewhat of a famous gemara. This Gemara about Mi'ila, that you're over Mi'ila on the world, really stems from a Tosefta. And the Tosefta discusses that a person is over Mi'ila if he is nana from this world before he does all the applicable mitzvahs to the item that he is getting hana from. And that means shumos, maishos, etc. There are a bunch of mitzvahs, especially in Eretz Yisrael, that Baruch Hashem, Hashem Baruch Hu, gave us tons of mitzvos in order to be mezakeh, and in Eretz Yisrael specifically, a person has many more opportunities because of the higher kedusha there. There are more mitzvos that a person is able to get a tremendously greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Practically, there are more mitzvos, and also because that's the place where mitzvos are really applicable anyway. They're not really, at least according to the Ramban, so applicable in Chutz Laaretz. We just have to keep them. But either way, so when it comes to that, you know, the Tosafta, which is really seems to be the source for where this Gemara is coming from, says until you're Yotze all the mitzvos, it's Mi'ila. So we're dealing with a Kinyan. Mi'ila means I have to take it out from Hekdesh. Pidyon is a normal way. You take something that's Hekdesh and make it yours. Something that's your property that I want to make my property, so I need to pay you, or I need to do some sort of kinyan with your acquiescence. That's how I get it to not be gezel. How I get it to not be Me'ila is I need to transfer the property from my Kadosh Baruch Hu to me, and different types of Hekdesh are able to be transferred, and some can't be transferred at all, but different ones in different ways. A Karban, there's a transference of property to a degree if it becomes a Balmum, and then I do a Pidyon, Kashe Berek Abayis in certain ways, Land, Cherim, depending on what it is, each one has its method of transferring. It's like it's a Kinyan almost, it's a Pidyon, or whatever you want to, however you want to refer to it, going from Hekdesh, transference of property over to me. So, if the Tosefta is being literal, meaning if Rabbeinu Yonah is reading this Tosefta literally, and the Gemara that comes essentially from the Tosefta literally, then the method for transferring property that has never become Hekdesh other than God made it, and the Pasuk in Tehillim testifies to that fact, that it's God's until a certain point in time. We have contradictory Pesukim in Tehillim. So that's telling me that God really owns it, so it's really Hekdesh, until a certain point in time that He gives it to you. We've defined that as, well, since the Torah doesn't tell me any procedure, so it must be the procedures are whatever mitzvot Hashem said are applicable to that specific item. So if I have wheat, I have to take truma, I have to take maaser, I have to do all those mitzvahs, and then I'm allowed to eat it. Right? If I have fruit, so perhaps I orla, you know, or different things, or if you hold netter rabbi, plus karen rabbi, whatever it is, you know, you have to do those mitzvahs. The chachamim certainly are able to deal with transference of properties, hefker based on hefker, and all sorts of other mechanisms that they have that allow them to make injunctions. They made a mitzvah of brachos. Brachos are the rabban. They are created by the chacham. Forgetting the Pnei Yeshua that we mentioned earlier, either like the Tzlach, or even within the Pnei Yeshua, if we're going to say that conceptually it's a deraisa, but practically it's a rabbanon. The rabbanon said you have to make a bracha at each and every point. Rabbeinu Yonah tells me every bracha, Rishona, is the rabbanon, meaning they made it. But now I have a mitzvah. The Torah recognizes the authority of the rabbanon. So now I have a mitzvah that pertains to this fruit, or bread, or whatever item, piece of meat, whatever it is that I want to eat. If I don't do that, I didn't transfer the property from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to me. The kinyan, the pidyon, did not happen, and therefore it's still HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. It's a matter of monetary, a monetary issue here. How do I buy it from God, basically? I do the mitzvahs. There's a new mitzvah here in town. Chacham made it. So, until I do that, it still remains HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. So that means that the bracha is a derabbanan, but the violation of the bracha is a deraisa. My nafkamina, major nafkaminas. If a person's over it, and it's to be taken literally, he's chayav karban me'ila. As Rabbeinu Yonah says, because it's mamish me'ila. But, all of a sudden, I'm the suffix whether or not I'm chayav in the bracha. Well, the Chachamim said, it's only the Rabbanon, because we made them up. We're not mechayiv you in the case. Safik brachos l'akol. So there's no mitzvah on that anymore. Because the Chachamim were the ones who created it, said in such a circumstance, there's no bracha. Well, if there's no bracha, then there's no mitzvah. If there's no mitzvah, there's no me'ila. So, once they made their injunction, it creates a deraisa effect on the violation. But the applications are only going to be with the Rabbanan and subjected to all rules of the Rabbanan type rules.
So the vehicle to get the food, to eat the food, is not...
Is it the Rabbanan? Right, but if you violate it, you end up
there.
Being over the rest. Similarly, if the Chachamim, assuming that Hefker, based in Hefker, is being employed, right? So the Chachamim, let's say with the Raisa, a certain Kenyan is recognized. And the Chachamim say, we no longer recognize that Kenyan. Midiraisa now, the Kenyan doesn't work. They've taken that, and they've said, we are not recognizing that Midiraisa anymore. We have the authority to do so, for whatever injunction we're going to do. And therefore, let's say we do that Kenyan.
Someone else steals it. He had no obligation to pay.
He pays it to the first owner. Not right, he has to pay the Eishev HaSegzeh goes back to the first owner, because the Kenyan didn't occur. And should the buyer, let's say we did this And assuming that the Chacham employed half Kerbes and half Geros, so that it should not work, that can and should not work. Let's say Kesef, Mos Einon Konos. Let's assume for saying some machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether you do kinyan kesef on metalton. Let's assume that mamish doesn't work whatsoever. Okay, so you bought something with money from me. Okay, midaraisa it worked. Midarabanan it doesn't work. So now the item is in my storefront. You never picked it up. You never made a different kinyan on it. And I say to you, I changed my mind. Here's your money back. Or, I changed my mind. Now come claim your money. So I'm stealing your money. That's gezel for me. But for you to break into my store and take the item that you think is yours, that's gezel. Midaraisa. Because the kinyan didn't work. It's not yours. So by their stopping a kinyan from happening, they can effectively create somebody taking that inappropriately, having violated the raisa. So that's a possibility, I think, if one wants to take the Gemara, the Tosefta literally. I think people's natural reaction is, come on, how could that be? It just doesn't sound right. That's not necessarily going to be something that's machriya why somebody should read a Gemara, I think. We definitely have the Meiri who says it's the Rabbanan, and that's clear. And I think it's coming from, we don't find application of dinim in this fashion. Just the Gemara seems to be more, if you will, agatateik, or showing you Chomer Ha'avon, I think naturally when we get that, we see it, because the Gemara usually doesn't find this type of methodology to find the raisas. Nevertheless, if we should find a Rishon who says it directly, perhaps Rabbeinu Yonah, I at least have a mechanism through which it can work.